We're joined now by Dr. Peter Molnar. Peter Molnar is an associate professor in the Department of Computer Science and Information at Clark Atlanta University. And Dr. Molnar is an expert on, among other things, big data. Good morning, Dr. Molnar. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me here.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. Most people think of computer science, well, they've been working on computers from day one, but you actually came at computer science from sort of a different angle, didn't you?
Yes, I did. All my degrees are actually in theoretical physics. I joined the computer science department in, I think, 1999 or 2000 to teach artificial intelligence. So computer science is a really broad field, and it has somewhat something to do with computers, but it goes way beyond that. And my background is modeling social behavior and understanding social behavior from human observations. So the mathematical models that we use come from physics, and the methods that we use come basically from all the sciences. So there is really not a strict boundary about between the different disciplines.
I know that for people of a certain age who might remember the movie from the late 1960s, The Graduate, Benjamin Braddock, the guy tells him at the party famously, you know, plastics. Go into plastics, Benjamin. And, of course, parents for 20 years now have been telling their children when they go off to college, computers. Go into computer science. Could you talk a little bit about the computer science department here at Clark Atlanta University and what it does have to offer to students and what those possibilities are?
Well, these days, computer science is somewhat the center of almost everything. That sounds kind of big, but it is. And if you think of any area in science, we move a lot of research into the computational domain. We develop new materials, we develop new drugs in the computer based on computer simulations rather than actually, I mean, they're still mixed up in the lab, but it is very cost-effective and more cost-effective and more and possible to explore more routes using computer simulations, for example. In biology, we see a huge trend through genomics, which basically uses the DNA of an individual to identify markers. So let's say we can sequence the DNA of patients and then look for markers so to assess their risk for a particular disease or how prone they are to, how likely are they to get cancer. So there's a lot of work and development in the computational side, and we will see in a couple of years a more of personalized medicine where we're actually using a patient's DNA blueprint and determine what type of drugs would be most effective for this patient to cure them.
We're talking this morning with Dr. Peter Molnar. He is an associate professor in the Department of Computer and Information Science here at CAU. And Dr. Molnar, in this past week, you were part of a big data event going on here in Atlanta that included everybody from the mayor to police departments and big corporations in town, and you were a part of this event. Could you talk a little bit to people that might not be as learned about you on the subject? What is big data? How do we come into contact in our daily lives, and what's the implication for this going forward?
Well, big data is everywhere. The idea is behind big data, which kind of is a buzzword, but to somewhat try to describe it, gaining insight to human behavior through the data that we collect on people. We've been doing this for the longest. All credit card transactions, emails, demographic data, crime data, IRS data, data that we have on our students in terms of their transcripts and attendance of school and stuff like that. We're collecting data for a long time in all sectors of our lives. What has developed throughout the last few years is the capability to process these data and get new insight that were previously not that available.
When you talk about big data, to me, it's like my friends at Amazon send me emails about things that I'm interested in because they've determined I'm interested in them because of what I bought from them. Edward Snowden famously blew the whistle on the NSA's PRISM security program that was capturing all of this data for the government to try and weed out terrorists. It seems to be in every aspect of our lives. Should we fear big data? Is big data just there to stay and we just need to accommodate it in our lives?
So, yes. Everybody, everything is collecting data about us, and it's increasing with new technology. Fearful? Well, we have to be educated about it. We have to understand what can be done with these data. The government, U.S. government has been, and its allies have been collecting data and listening into radio conversation and telephone conversation for a long time. That echelon system has been around since the Cold War. But what has changed is, until fairly recently, that all these data that we had access to, we had to have people listening in, going through them, reading files, and that kind of created a limitation because we can only have so many people working on this. Now what has changed is that we have computers, and computers scale. We can have more of them, we can make them faster and basically increase. So that limitation has gone away. And that is something that has changed our society. Now we have data, we get even more and more data, it's increasing, but also we have the capability to process these data and get that insight that was previously very hard to obtain. And that is a game shifter. And as a society and as citizens, we need to understand it. It's not going away. We cannot protest it, but we need to understand it to prevent any abuse and focus on the positive side of these new technologies and this new insight, which could be, for example, developing better materials, better drugs, helping people. So there's a definitely positive side, but we all citizens have to understand what the implications are. If you go on Facebook, if you go on Amazon, and what you do in your daily life, in the cyber world as well as in the physical world.
So big data is going to be used to market to us, or it's being used to market to us. It's being used by the government to surveil us to some degree. But at the same time, as you pointed out, talking about Dr. Nathan Bowen at CCRTD here on campus, big data may unlock the human genome for aggressive prostate cancer, which would save untold lives and untold misery for people. So it's here to stay. It's going to be good and bad. And there seem to be a lot of frontiers that may offer a lot of career opportunities for students here at Clark Atlanta.
Absolutely. There are some basic skills that we associate with data science or big data. And that is, of course, the mathematical part to understand how to process these lot of numbers, so mathematics, statistics. We use computers, so we need to understand how to program them and to a certain degree to manage the data, to collect data and filter it out. And then also very important is the understanding of visualizing and representing the data. Whatever we have, we can run terabytes of data and process them, but at the end, the results need to be communicated. And that is something that is more than just using particular tools or more than just a formula. It's actually a skill, probably somewhat art as well as experience, to effectively communicate the insight that we get from these data.
A large part of these jobs in the future are going to be translating what the machines are saying into something that fits our human scale of understanding.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Molnar with Clark Atlanta University this morning. Dr. Molnar, in some of the materials you sent over to me, you sent something that this is fascinating to me, and I'd like you to sort of expand on it here before we finish up today. You say that data science, computer science, is the new liberal arts. Now, I'm a liberal arts major going back many years, and we didn't have data science when I was getting my liberal arts major. Could you talk about what that means and its implications maybe for students now and in the future?
It is somewhat provocative, but I truly believe that data science is the liberal arts, and it goes beyond just the computer skills. The original definition of liberal arts is the skills that a citizens need to be employable, the skills that a free man or woman should have to be productive in society. Many professions require these basic skills of obtaining data, processing them, understanding the mathematics behind it, and being able to effectively communicate that. That, of course, there's a big range, and some people will focus in their career on the mathematical part or the computer part to mine thousands or billions of data. Others will focus on how can we get this insight now into decision-making process and communicate the data, the results of these data. So I believe that it should be in every program and every part of the education, from the natural sciences to humanities to social sciences and business.
And certainly in terms of the type of major and background that will yield a job in the private sector or the public sector going forward, a computer-related degree is going to make young people employable in the future.
Absolutely. I think there has been a stigma to computer science in terms of the hype that we had during the 2000s and then the fear of being outsourced. But particularly with this field, usually the companies do not want to outsource their data overseas and have other people, outside parties, gaining insight. So there's a huge demand in the skill level. And the job openings in data science or related or jobs that have require some of these skills are huge right now. We have a huge labor demand with these particular skills. And I don't think it's going away. And then again, to bring it back to the liberal arts, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody needs to get a computer science degree. Big data and data science is about understanding an applied discipline and understanding the tools to process the data in that discipline. So that still means if somebody's interested in the social sciences and humanities, that they can pursue these passions.
Again, we've been talking with Dr. Peter Molnar. He is an associate professor in the Department of Computer and Information Science here at Clark Atlanta University. He was a presenter this past week during International Big Data Week for a major event here in Atlanta. Dr. Molnar, thank you so much for taking the time for our audience. One question for you. June, coming up, we got the World Cup in Brazil. Who's going to take the cup?
I haven't done the data crunching yet, so my vote is still out. But thank you for having me here, Rob. Thank you so much.